I have a list here of, it's a transcription of the honours boards in the Lion's Den.
Yes.
For each season. And let me turn back to 86 onwards. I'm sure you remember all these players anyway.
Yeah.
Let me put it in front of you. Just cast your eye through and tell us about these. First of all, props, what sort of captain was Malcolm Preedy?
Malcolm was good. I mean, I'm never going to complain because he was probably one of the guys who selected me to get in the squad, as a young lad coming through. And so I say he was a good captain. I mean, you knew what he was going to get with Malcolm. I mean, like I said, he's a great footballer. I mean, I think I remember, didn't he drop a goal against Bristol? We beat Bristol, didn't it? Don't know if you guys remember that. Yeah, he dropped a goal against Bristol. I think somebody threw the ball back to him, stood under the post and looked his way, and then dropped a goal and we won the game on a Friday night playing down in Bristol.
Was he stirring captain in the dressing room?
No, not really. I mean, Boos took it really serious, there were certain people in there, if I go down the list, like Mike again, he was quite calm. Mike Hamlin, he was a steady Eddie. Pass didn't say a lot, like Breezy then, he'd want to knock everybody out, so, if there's going to be a desktop, he'd be involved. Tally, he was, again, solid, put him and Moggy in the centres, you had two great guys there, you talk about the old centres, one's a crash ball bang up and you've got somebody feeding off him, and that's what you had then too. Paul was a big lad, bumping everybody off. And
great tackler,
Moggy,
wasn't he?
Great tackler. Moggy just sat on his shoulder and played off him. And, Moggy had the pace in it and everything else. Smalls, I think I'm not sure if he did he play one England B cap and then he went to Scotland after that? I certainly remember Jonah being down there and he was going to be on the bench for England and he turned up on a Friday and then he next week gone. So we obviously had a phone call from Scotland. John Etheridge saw him the other week actually. We played a cherry pickers game and he's living in France at the moment. But he was over for a funeral and he didn't have his kit, but he came along and watched. So John was a good boy. I mean, he was always sort of understudy then to John Breen.
He played for England B with you, didn't he?
That's right.
And then you played against him.
That's right.
When he played for Ireland B.
That's right, yeah. Did he get a couple of caps in?
No.
He didn't get any caps.
He got a number of A caps for Ireland.
I played A games against him, yeah.
Yeah, he got a full New Zealand tour, but he didn't actually play in any of the internationals.
Yeah. Again, going through it, Derek was quick, he was very, he was a good guy to have on a wing. Nick Marmot, again, very steady, nothing spectacular, but I think he won the game. We played Glamorgan Wanderers away and his kicking was good and I think Tim was still the number one. Richard Williams, great scrum half. I mean, he was a good lad, very quick as well. Squibbs, just again, a big lump at the front, them days there was no lifting, so I don't know what it would be like if he was playing next. I've heard he's about 24 stone now, so and Gary again, somebody you want on your side all the time, and I think very unlucky not to get his cap. Mike Teague, just speaks for himself, he's a legend down there, and he deserves to be, because I'd done some of these mad dog runs with him, and I was fairly fit, and I'll tell you what, they absolutely killed me, and that was just before he went and he got the Man of Steel in 89 on the Australia Lions tour. Nick Price, Lord Lucan, he was just one of them guys that, fair play, the ball bounced and goes straight into his hands, and we used to love it. I remember going in a potty pool one game and every time somebody kicked the ball, he kicked it, you guarantee it bounced over someone's head straight into his hands under the post. And the time we went to potty pool, as and got a good hiding down there, I mean, that's when potty pool became, they lost a bit and they were on the back foot and we went down there and I think we put 40 points on them. It was like every time we got in the road, it was like Breezy said, fuck him, he said, just keep going, boys, because if we're there and they're in the same situation, he said, this won't be happening, you know what I mean? So let's give them what they're giving us. And we won by about 40 points that day. Rory McLean, great, good centre, he's a good lad. Bobby Folk, always take him to Wales. He never play on a Saturday, but you guarantee you want him in your side for a Wales game because Bobby used to put him away and... again, Marcus, I think Marcus got a few A caps or B caps at the time, 21s and stuff. So, yeah, that's going through that list. But they were all great guys, and they all brought me along as well, which was good because I was probably, of all those, I think John is about the same age as me, I think, but everyone else, they're all quite a bit older. So, I was a young boy really in the side. So, it was good. And they looked after you. But you know, I looked after myself anyway. But having those guys around you, you know, you're always going to be looked after anyway.
Then Marcus Hannaford took over as captain the following season. What sort of captain was he?
Again, you know, typical Gloucester boys. That's what they are. You know, I mean, you know what you're going to get from them. You know, it's not like they're, you know, the most intelligent guys in the world. You know, Marcus a fencer, and Malcolm was at the time working at one of the factories down the road. I think so. Just everyday guys, and we all knew what to expect from that, you know, people like that. And you got, like I said, when I did go to WASP, you get different people captain, like Mark Bailey and people like that. You know, these guys are. It's a different scenario. Do you know what I mean? You knew what you were when you were at King's Own, the typical Gloucester boy. He's a captain, and whatever he said, we got on with, and we all mucked in together. And if anything happens, if there's a dust up, there'd be a big shout, and we'd all be in. You know what I mean? As simple as that. So, but that happened a lot more in them days, you know, than now. But it was good. I enjoyed it. It was a good bench, and obviously, you see people come and see people go. So,
let's move on a couple of years, and there'll be some new players coming into the team.
we've been coming along to this one. What's that? What year was that? 89-90.
Yeah.
Bob Phillips, again, we spoke about him. Paul Ashmead, great footballer, you know, really enjoyed his. He was never going to go and step into Gaddy's shoes, but a great footballer.
He scored a heck of a lot of tries, didn't he?
Yes, he will. I'll tell you another one looking at that, Ben Clark. I remember Ben Clark, I mean, he came from Stowe. I'm not sure if Teague had left that year. Or was Teague involved that year? I don't know. I remember, but he came in.
Yeah, he was
London,
still playing that, yeah.
Well, Ben was playing out of his skin. And I think Teague left not long after that end. Then he came back, if I remember. He went to Cardiff for a short spot. He came back. But Ben Clark, he, typical farmer, he turned up and he literally, you know, he said, well, I haven't done any training. I remember going on tour somewhere, then Saltash. And he was the fittest guy out there, but he's come up with, I haven't trained in anything yet because he's been stuck in a tractor. But a great workhorse, you know. He was a good lad. And if Mike hadn't been Mike Teague, he probably would have kept the place. So, there's most of those guys are still there. But it was John Brain, and I said I spoke about Tim. It was good. It was you look back on your career, and we play the Cherry Pickers game now. You still see these guys and have a few beers, and it's great to get together and have a. I say we got a game this weekend down in Widden, so. We're trying to get it going. But the only problem we've got now is I'm 46 next week myself, but a lot of these guys are older than me, so it's trying to keep that tradition going. And it's going to be difficult unless you like, you know, the Deeks and even the younger guys that have played, but, you know, a lot of them go back to where they're from because it's professional now. So the problem with this Cherry Pickers now, right, they'd probably go away, you know. But it'd be nice to keep it going, but I don't know if we'd be able to because of the fact of, you know, all the guys, I mean, the only ones I know, like Darren O'Leary's about in Cheltenham, but when you get like Henry Paul coming in, and it could be anywhere else around the world now.
Yeah.
So it's a shame, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
If you have a young, player come to you and say, give me some advice, Kevin, on
I did
how
Phil
to be
Greening.
A success.
I did it with Phil Greening. I did it all with right. Phil. I mean, like I said, I didn't start hooking myself until I was second, like the last year of my Colts. So I was like 19, so I was a prop at school. And Phil was down Spars, I think he was in the back row or whatever, and he said, look, I'm going to go hook in. I said, right. So I took him down on a real old scrummaging machine, and I remember going down there, and I said, right, put this blindfold over him. And I said, right, tap when you want it coming in. You can hook the ball now. So I had him hooking with his eyes shut, and you know, we just kept doing it and doing it, and I worked with him a few sessions. The lineouts are a bit different, you know, you pick your own style up and everything, but certainly striking the ball, that's how I learned it, and I did the same for him, really, just had him hooking with his eyes shut, and it came on from there. I think a lot of it is to do with making sure you've got a right connection with your scrum half as well, and you want a little bit of a cheat on your side, and any Gloucester scrum half is always going to be a cheat anyway, so you're never going to be any worse there, but. Yeah, I mean, I filled in quite a few times and down at the old Spartans ground, and, you know, say we've got a machine, or then we'd get a couple of guys up front and each side and just striking the ball and going from there. So, yeah.
Did you have a mentor in your early days?
I didn't. I'll tell you what happened with mine. It was because Fred Reed came up to me, because he was involved with the Colts then, and he said, look, you're not going to be big enough. You know, you're going to have to get... You're going to have to... want you to change and go hooker. This is, like I say, winning in the Colts. Mm. And he said, well, because Fred was a hooker himself, as you know. He said, what we'll do, we'll get you up, we'll do some sessions, but they never happened. So I had to go just do it myself, to be honest. And, you know, you learn by a few mistakes, but I literally... I think I had 6 months at the most at Spartans hooking before I went to Lydney. So really, Lydney was my learning curve, really, as a hooker. And so I adapted all right. And obviously it went from there, really, with the fact of, having Malcolm in Pask and just going on from there. So, it was all good.
And which second rows stand out in your memory, Kevin, from the amount of sort of motive power that's coming through your backside?
I think yours is going to get quite a bit with Pask, not with Pask, with Scribbs, because he was a big lump anyway. But him and John were great. I mean, when John Etheridge came in as a younger lad, he was good. Simsy again, good boys. And but there was definitely plenty of weight with Scribbs and with John Brain there. But again, I can remember going. I think Gloucester paid for it. They put us through some coaching course, which was back in the early days. And I'd had a couple of seasons at Gloucester, and they put me up and said, I'd like to go on a coaching course. So I went on the coaching course, but I did it the week before Malcolm, John Brain, Bob Phillips, and then I had a phone call saying, can you come and do a line-out session for us? And I'm thinking, I'm teaching these guys who've taught me for the last 4 or 5 years what to do. They've got a lot more experience than me, and you're asking me to come and do a line-out session for these guys. But I suppose it's all part of the, getting your badges and your what you remember after. But that was quite funny, actually, thinking, well, hang on, these guys have taught me what to do. And you're asking me to come and do a session for you and teach these guys. It was only because, as I say, it was a week after, really. But, yeah, no, they were, there weren't many packs that beat us in those days. We were a good, strong pack, and on the day, depends who you had playing. But there weren't many times that anybody, sort of got one over on us. Mm. So, there was certainly plenty of weight there, so it was good.